This is The 19, a podcast that delivers marketing insights from Orange Label in 19 minutes or less. This year, the agency is celebrating 50 years of working with established brands that are driven by a fearless entrepreneurial mindset. What does this mean for you? It means enriched conversations and stories with marketing and leadership experts aimed at improving lives. Hello, and welcome to the 19 Entrepreneur Edition. I'm Rochelle Ryder, president of Orange Label. Today, we're talking about something that every entrepreneur can benefit from, and that's learning more about intellectual property rights. The World Trade Organization defines intellectual property as the rights given to persons over the creation of their minds. Understanding intellectual property is a key part of being able to protect your brand and its exclusive identity. Here to share more about intellectual property, from copyright and trademark protection to copyright infringement, is attorney Andy Nelson. With decades of experience representing clients in business, commercial, and intellectual property matters, Andy's clients have ranged from the food and beverage industries to advertising, technology, apparel, and more. Andy, welcome to The 19. We're so excited to have you here today.
Thanks, Rochelle. I'm excited to be here.
So tell us about your background as an attorney and your specialty.
Okay, well, I've been doing this 20 years now. I started out up in the Bay Area, Silicon Valley, I guess, to be accurate. I came down here in 2003, and I've been practicing in Orange County ever since. I guess I'd put it in two categories, what I've been doing my entire career. One, dispute resolution and avoidance for businesses. So that is garden variety problems that crop up to full-fledged raging lawsuits, but anything in between. I do help businesses try to avoid, narrow, and resolve their little dust-ups that occur. And then on the other part of what I do, which kind of emerged out of my dispute resolution in the intellectual property arena, is developing a transactional or a counseling prosecution, if you will, intellectual property practice. Uh-huh. And that I've built up over the last number of years. So I love getting in there and helping businesses understand, you know, what they have in terms of intellectual property, putting boundaries around it, identifying it, and then helping them exploit it, and then helping them enforce it.
Why is protecting intellectual property so important for brands?
Simply put, it's an asset. So, you know, much like, you know, a business's personal property, it's, you know, it's desks and inventory and things like that. And it's real estate, which may be actual real estate holdings, it may be a leasehold, whatever it is. People understand those assets, these more intangible things, they're treated like property in the law. Mm-hmm. But a lot of folks don't understand that it's treated like property. And the thing is, I think just about any business is going to have something, some kind of intellectual property that's an asset for its brand. And, you know, the gates are kind of left open a lot.
Right.
And in some cases, it may not be the most important asset for a business, but it is a valuable asset. That's, you know, when you go to exit or otherwise depart your business, it's part of that value.
Sure.
And for some businesses, it will be the most valuable asset. I mean, if you think about the most, what you consider the most valuable businesses or companies on the planet, their value is largely driven by their IP.
Yeah.
Not the other stuff, not the real estate, not the personal property.
Sure. It's interesting that many brands don't get that.
Yeah. And it's just not intuitive.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think we all grew up thinking, you know, you see something physical and you can say, that's mine. You know,
right.
You understand holding it or taking possession of it as ownership, and you know how to keep other people away from it and kind of maintain your ownership. But these intangibles, it's just not intuitive.
Sure.
You have to learn it.
What do you find that most businesses don't understand about intellectual property rights?
The rights themselves, simple mm-hmm. enough. I think most people, I mean, I kind of alluded to it a moment ago. Yeah. I think a lot of people, I mean, I've seen over the years, people kind of get this idea that if they think of something or develop something, they have a sense of ownership, as in it's mine,
mm-hmm.
but they don't understand really the contours of what the law kind of lays down for different types of intangibles.
Mm-hmm.
Some things just aren't protectable.
Yeah.
And they're just in the public domain, even though you may have this innate claim to ownership over it.
Like, that's my idea.
It's mine. That's mine. I thought that up 50 years ago. No one can use it right now. Well, it's not that simple. So it's really constructed. I mean, I guess even real estate law and personal property law, that's constructed as well. But these are more recent in the grand scheme of things. And so just not understanding, what I see over and over again is just not understanding the different types of law, different columns that exist, or buckets, if you mm-hmm. will, and how different things that people conjure up either get placed in one bucket over another, which comes with its own rights obligations, and when some things go in the public domain or there's no way to protect this bucket.
Sure, sure. So at what stage do most of your clients come to you? In other words, is it a proactive approach or is it, oh, I got a problem?
Certainly it's a mixed bag. I will say this, on the dispute resolution side I talked about earlier, mm-hmm. it's often reactive.
Yeah.
You know, it's often either they've, you know, received a salvo or they've already launched their own salvo. And then they think, okay, I need to get you involved and things are already on the rails in some fashion. On the intellectual property side, I would say, I think it's a bit more proactive, although not entirely, but mm-hmm. But I do enjoy that when people come to me at the very beginning, before they've done something, launched missiles against somebody else, or started using their IP, because in some scenarios, using your IP, exploiting it, trying to gain value from it, mm-hmm. may be great in the short term, but you may actually miss some crucial deadlines. This comes up most in the patent area, mm-hmm. As in, if you start publicly disclosing what your invention is, you start using it, selling it, maybe showing it off at trade shows, if you don't apply for patent protection within a certain period of time, and it's typically 1 year from disclosing it, mm-hmm. you can't ever do it.
Okay.
And it's out in the open. All your IP is out and
out
free
there
for everybody else to use.
Yeah. So. So what do you recommend as effective strategies for trademark and copyright protection for brands?
Okay. So those are two different things. When it comes to trademarks specifically, two things are huge. One, clearing it, making sure that what you want to kind of adopt as a brand identifier for you, or multiple identifiers, maybe a name and maybe a logo as well, maybe a slogan on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure that no one else is in your space using something similar or the same for a similar industry, similar goods, something along those lines. There's some other considerations, but those are the two big ones. You want to make sure that no one else is there, you know, and you decide to adopt something. And next mm-hmm. thing you know, you're getting a cease and desist letter after you've invested in your new brand identity. That's
right.
No good. So clearing it is great. And on, you know, similar to that with copyright, that's a different kind of intellectual property. What you want to make sure is that if you're using somebody else's, for example, you want to make sure you're clearing it.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond that, you want to make sure if you're creating something that you really think about what your source of inspiration was.
Mm.
Because your source of inspiration may be somebody else's property. And next thing you know, if yours is substantially similar to that other property, you might be committing copyright infringement.
Okay.
So you really want to know where you're getting something, or if you're in an organization where those who create for you are getting their inspiration. Those are two big ones. And that's at the very beginning, you know, clearing.
Sure.
Making sure you're on clear ground. And then beyond that, of course, there's additional strategies to protect your own property. But first thing is clear it, make sure you're free to operate.
Mm-hmm. And do you do that upfront work for your clients?
Yeah, we
making
do.
Making sure.
We do. We do that and also help. I mean, a lot of people can do a lot of this on their own. So mm-hmm. we'd like to help people, you know, keep their attorney bills down if they can.
Yeah.
The more work that they're capable of doing and want to do, we encourage that. But we're a good backstop. And sometimes people have their business to run. They don't want to, you know,
they don't want to
do that.
Yeah.
So we can certainly help out with that.
Okay, great. What recommendations do you have for brands when it comes to using photography, music, and different things like that, that they're combining for a particular marketing asset?
Yeah, this is a danger area for sure. And this is the subject of a lot of calls and emails I get over time, you know.
I bet.
Using photos on websites mm-hmm. or syncing music with, you name it, you know, the video, what have you.
Sure.
The dangers are, you're talking about most likely using someone else's property or someone else's creation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are, if you're not in control, if you didn't create the content yourself, you got to really know where it comes from. You know, you may be using others' content, but it may be extremely old.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's in the public domain if it's that old. And I mean old, as in, you know, it should have ragtime music attached to it or something. Old, that old. But if it doesn't, you really want to know where it comes from. Copyright infringement in particular can be particularly onerous. And these are kind of strict liability mm-hmm. type regimes, so to speak. So, you know, the I didn't know kind of excuse might help a little bit, but it's generally not going to help on liability. So when you're using others' content, you want to trace it, make sure you know where it's coming from. And then if it in fact is someone else's, do your due diligence to make sure that it's one, free to use, as if maybe it's in the public domain for any number of other reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's super old. Or if you're using it and it comes from somebody else, ensure that they've got the rights to then give to you.
Sure.
Which may be kind of tracking the right agreements along the way to make sure they have a license to use it. Or if they're the original creator, entering into your own, you know, right to use your own license or otherwise get permission to use it. So you just have that peace of mind that you're just not going to be surprised by something you don't want to be surprised by.
Sure, sure.
But when music and photography especially, those are so easy to snap up. And the myth I hear over and over again is, it was on the web, so I thought it was free to use.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
And, that doesn't hold up, right?
It does not hold up. No, you might get lucky once in a while, but more often than not, no. You're going to get some kind of communication.
So with the rise of social media, what are the legalities surrounding audio clips like on TikTok and Reels for Instagram?
This is, I think, evolving all the time. But and if my info is out of date, I don't think it is. Somebody can chime in. When it comes to TikTok and Instagram, they have their own licenses already built in. I mean, they're already in place with a lot of artists or publishers out there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you create, you know, a TikTok video or with Instagram, I got to get this right here, not a post, not IGTV, but a story mm-hmm. or a reel,
uh-huh.
you'll have the music option available. Those licenses are already grabbed up by Instagram and TikTok. So if you use or incorporate that music, you should be good to go.
Okay. Yeah.
Using your own would be okay. Grabbing music and using an outside app to integrate it, if you have the permissions,
mm-hmm.
could be okay, but you might get pulled. If you want to use music that's not in those in-app libraries,
mm-hmm.
You're going to have to negotiate.
So it sounds like it's good to go as long as it's already in the library that's on TikTok or Instagram.
Should be for those particular uses, yes.
Great. What are the legal implications of using images for memes in your brand posts for social? Do you know?
Yeah, another mixed bag, a little complicated. When you're talking about using memes, you're talking about using someone else's visual content.
Sure.
Someone's visual art or audiovisual, I guess, photography, what have you, video. Someone else's content. And this is where you probably hear a lot of people say, oh, I'm making something cute or funny and it's fair use for me to do so. That's a brush that gets kind of used quite a bit and maybe inaccurately. When you're talking about using someone else's content, yes, you may be able to use that content without permission and protect yourself, I guess, or like tuck yourself under this claim of fair use.
Mm-hmm.
But that can be a bit dangerous. Fair use, there's a lot of considerations that go into it. There's no easy check the box, check this box, check that box, and I'm in a safe harbor.
Yeah.
It's hard to figure out. So I think the most frequently used label, if you will, that might tuck someone under fair use would be to create parody or commentary. And memes often do that.
Yeah.
Memes are, sometimes they're just funny and satire. They're not necessarily commenting on the image itself mm-hmm. or the audio or potentially even a trademark, you know, when you have a like the Polo logo and you have like the rider being bucked off or something like that.
Yeah.
That makes fun of the logo itself.
Uh-huh.
That's probably, and I'm saying this, you know, with big finger quotes around
yeah.
it, that's probably fair use because it makes fun of the mark itself. It's just not using that mark in some other fashion that doesn't make fun of it. Or, you know, that's on the trademark side, but other imagery, it's unclear. Now, I will say this, there's probably a lot of copyright infringement, a lot of trademark infringement going on with memes all the time.
Yeah.
And a lot of brands or creators of the content just don't care.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they do take ownership over their properties, but sometimes it's, you know, this doesn't reflect poorly upon me. It doesn't hurt my business.
Yeah.
It brings attention to me. And so I'm not going to do anything about it, even though they might. So it's a bit of a dangerous game using these memes, but it's hard to give anyone any, here's your one step and you're free and clear.
Yeah. Clear cut answers.
It's hard to do that. But I will say, if you see a lot of folks using the same meme over and over again, even in a commercial sense, you could probably draw some conclusions about the intentions of the owner of that property, whether they are enforcing it. If you haven't heard stories about other people receiving the cease and desist letters, that kind of thing, that might indicate something, but that's not great legal advice.
Right.
I mean, it's a risk assessment.
Yeah. Are you seeing more cases involving social media, or now that social media is just pretty much mainstream, is there not much?
I'm sure there is a lot, but I don't track every district court across the country.
Right, right.
but I don't see a lot. I mean, you know, a lot of these things would tend to make the news
mm-hmm.
when they occur. There was one in the last few years that involved user-generated content, you know, someone posting all their own content on, say, I think it was Instagram in particular, and then that content got used by a third-party or sponsor or somebody mm-hmm. else affiliated with Instagram. And of course, that author was not happy about that. But if you look at the terms of use, Instagram's terms of use at the time, by having a public account like that, you were agreeing
yes.
to anything you post could be used. I don't want to say by anybody, and
yeah.
it's a little tighter than that, but it could be used by others in many ways, and you were giving permission.
Yes, by posting it, right. Yeah, I think you just covered the next question, which was legal issues with reposting public content. So do you have anything to expand on there?
Sure, sure. If you are a user of a platform, mm-hmm. you know, some social media platform, the terms and conditions or terms of use are there for you to find. Go look for them. Or you don't have to go on the platform. If you just go on your search engine and terms of use for Facebook or terms of use for Instagram, you should get taken to those terms of use. However, make sure that you're in the right country. Some will say this is for Ireland or whatever, and that could change.
Good point.
Make sure it's where you are. And then you'll understand your rights and obligations regarding your own content that you create, mm-hmm. which also give you insight into others' content. Because if you're using others' content, it may be their property. So if they're writing something, posting something, that technically could have copyright protection, but they create that. But by posting it on say Instagram, stick with Instagram for the moment, they may very well be agreeing that others may use their content for certain purposes. And frankly, this is one where I don't hear, a lot of complaints and gripes going around. Now, if somebody mm-hmm. posts, a major piece of work, that's kind of their business, their novel or their serial novel or what have you, or their music over and over again, they're probably not going to take kindly to others reposting it wholesale.
Right.
May or may not. And if they're getting promoted, they may like that. But if someone's using it to then promote some other commercial venture or what have you, that owner may not like that. Now, that may be okay, depending on the terms of use of the platform. You want to look at those.
Mm-hmm.
But even if it's okay, do you want to get slammed on social media for doing that, for maybe not doing the moral thing
or being
accused of doing the immoral thing, that sort of thing. So
there's that
to watch out for too.
For sure, for sure. If there was one strategy you would want to recommend to businesses to protect themselves and their brand, what would it be?
In order to be able to put fences around it, to enforce it, you have to know what you have. So mm-hmm. my big strategy is educate yourself, learn what you think you might own or what you might have. It's kind of an audit, a self-audit, mm-hmm. self-inventory. What do I have? What do I think is my property? What do I think of, if I create in terms of audiovisual content, brand identifiers, my slogans, my color combinations, what have you? Do I have inventions? Do I have secret sauces, that might be protectable trade secrets? What do I have? Let me try to really define these. Let me write them out. And then you can kind of figure out, this is best protected. This is probably trademark law that shrouds this. This is probably copyright law, if anything. Here's my invention. If it's information-based, maybe it could be a trade secret. Maybe it's a patent. If it's a physical device, probably only going to be a patent, if anything. Once I really know what I have, then I can ask the right questions about protecting it, mm-hmm. whether I have a real fence around it. And then I can figure out what are my ways to strengthen it and enforce it. But all these other things, enforcing it. I see these sorts of, flying emails all over the place or letters, cease and desist letters with people who don't have any rights at all.
Right.
I'm dealing with one of those right now. Someone is, someone has what we call an intent to use trademark application, and someone else is using what this other person's hoping to adopt at some point in time, mm-hmm. is using it now, but the person who's complaining is saying, I have a trademark. Well, they don't.
And they don't.
They have a reservation, and it may mature in one, but it could very well be that they'd never put it into use, and mm-hmm. if they never put it into use, then there's not going to be a trademark there at some point. So,
right.
This is where I see people slinging letters and cease and desists, this kind of area of law without really knowing what their rights are and their obligations. And this boomerangs a lot.
Sure.
Sometimes, probably in the trademark arena the most, where you see letters or emails, Facebook Messenger or whatever.
Yeah.
Someone says, I'm using this, you can't do that. And come to find out, well, I'm glad you sent this to me because I've been using this 10 years longer than you, and thanks for making me aware of your presence,
Right.
Yeah. And so it goes back the other direction.
Uh-huh.
So that happens a lot, probably more so there than anywhere else.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely something for brands to consider, and I really appreciate you sharing your insights and thoughts on the topic. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Rochelle. I enjoyed it.
Thank you for listening to the 19 Entrepreneur Edition with attorney Andy Nelson. To learn more about Andy's services and how he helps businesses protect their brands, visit fortislaw.com/attorney or join his private Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/defendingyourbrand. If you have additional thoughts on the topics we discussed today, send us an email. You can send questions, comments, and more to info@orangelabeladvertising.com. A special thank you goes out to our contributors, Senior Studio Manager Kelsey Phillips, Micah Panzich, who edits our show, and Ashley Reese, Senior Content Writer. Be sure to subscribe to The 19 on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. And if you like what you heard today, leave us a review.